Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Frutarom Industries Limited fourth quarter and full year 2016 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded March 23, 2017. With us on the line today are Mr. Ori Yehudai, President and CEO, Mr. Alon Granot, CFO, and Roy Meltzer, Director of IR and Business Development. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respected company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demands, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with various security authorities. Mr. Yehudai, would you like to begin?
Yes, thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, and many thanks for your participation in our call. We are very, very happy to share with you our results for the year and the quarter, and much more than that, trying to share with you our view about the macro, the market, and Frutarom position within the market that we believe is very interesting and very positive, looking at the main market trends. 2016 is another very positive milestone in Frutarom journey for profitable growth. We are able to walk through our strategy, combining profitable internal growth, double than the markets where we are operating, together with strategic acquisitions that bring us to another record year, both in revenue, in profit, and in cash from operation. We are happy from the positive internal growth of our flavor business, our main core business, that is growing faster and more profitable than the other activities of Frutarom, growing at a rate of above 6%, this year and the year before. This positive trend coming from few main attributes. One, the improvement in the geography spread of Frutarom, more towards North America and growing emerging market. Our special unique position with our customer list, mainly niche added value solution to the global multinational, and more than 70% of our business with mid-size and local customers, with a special emphasis on the private label sectors. We believe that in today's world, those sectors are growing, in many cases, faster than the global multinational. Our main focus in natural products that are coming closer to being 75% of our total sales, and the combination of taste, health, natural color, natural food protection, and so on. We believe in the right junction that billions of consumers want to see their food. On top of that, we believe that an important boost to our internal growth in the last year and in the coming few years come from the huge cross-selling opportunities following 20 acquisitions that were made in the last two years and 34 in the last five years. I will try to elaborate later on these main factors. Frutarom in 2017 is a growing company with a turnover that more than doubled itself in the last couple of years, reached already above 1.2 billion, with an EBITDA from our core business of above 20%, and this will continue to improve during the next year and two. Strong management, stronger than before, and we continue to strengthen management in the right area in order to really meet the very interesting challenges of the market and continue to grow faster than the market and absorbing the additional acquisition that we will be making. A global sales and marketing organization operating in more than 170 countries, supported by 57 production sites, 72 R&D and application labs, and 95 sales and marketing offices, with more than 650 active salespeople, and more than 600 people in our R&D and application laboratories, supporting almost 40,000 different customers. This is our base, this is our assets, this is where, how we grow, and this is how we continue to grow. 10,000 new customers were added in the last five years through the 34 acquisitions that we made. These are some of the basic properties, I would say, or assets that allow us to use the cross-selling and the much broader product portfolio that was developed through both internal R&D and acquisitions that will allow us to leverage on these cross-selling opportunities. Looking at the customer focus, we believe that the mid-size, the smaller, the local companies, and among them, the private label sector, is growing faster in many markets as opposed to the global multinational. We have seen some of the global multinationals reporting reduction in sales or more or less stable sales. These customers are less than 30% of Frutarom sales, and it's typically niche added value solutions, and that's why we are maybe less affected than other players. Through a very, very interesting, I believe, product and technology that we developed, combining the taste, the health, the new areas for us, the natural color, the natural food protection, algae-based product, and the combination of them, I believe, are the direction that consumers want to see in their food, as opposed to chemicals and E numbers and many, many names on the label of our food. We believe that based on this, we will be able to continue grow internally at a double rate than the market where we operate, and add to that a strong pipeline of future acquisition that I believe we'll continue to do, and these will lead us in the right direction to continue to improve our revenue, profit margins, cash flow from operation, and reaching our ambitious attainable strategic goals. Few words about 2016. 31% increase in our sales, reaching almost $1.15 billion. Internal growth, excluding acquisitions and currency effect, for the total activity of 5.3%, and in our flavor and fine ingredient business, over 6% internal growth. Our taste business is already 74% of our total business and is growing in the last 16 years at a CAGR of 24% a year. In 2016, our flavor business grew by 39% and reached $847 million, organic growth of 6.1%. Growth in our fine ingredient natural product, 23%, reached $228 million, again, organic growth of 6%. Our gross profit increased by 31%, with a gross margin of above 40%, while our EBIT grew by 28%, with an EBIT margin of our core business of 16%. EBITDA, in the same time, grew by 28%, reached $217 million, EBITDA of 20% for our core business. Net profit grew by 16.6% and reached a record of $129 million. The same happened to the profit per share, increased by 15.6%. Strong cash flow from operation grew for the year by 36% and reached a record of $125 million, 13% increase in the cash flow in the fourth quarter. All these contribute nicely to a strong balance sheet and a level of debt of around 2x to EBITDA, and this is after we financed the 20 acquisitions that we made in the last 2 years. The effect of currencies was much lower this year compared to the year before, but still reduced sales and profit by 2.6%. All these results are when we exclude the one-time cost structure that were mainly attributed to the very significant integration and building of a one leading savory business following the acquisition of Wiberg, the largest acquisition we did end of January last year. I will refer to the progress later on. In addition, we are working on one of the most fascinating projects that I was involved with in the last 30 years, and this is growing and improving significantly our leadership position in the natural botanical extract. A few other one-time expense in the integration of some smaller acquisition and additional one-time expense for the acquisitions that we made. As far as our strategic growth, we are focusing on several main building blocks. In the geography part, we continue to grow in North America and growing emerging market. Our product, I believe, a very interesting product portfolio in the right junction between taste, health, natural color, and so on. Our profitable taste solution business continue to grow above other. This also help us to continue improve our performance. Few words about building our savory position and leadership position. Over the last 10 years, we made many acquisitions, many of them between West Europe, Central Europe, East Europe, but recently Canada, Mexico, South Africa, and more. First acquisition in Mexico was done in December. We acquired 75% of Piazza, a leader in the savory area in Mexico, where 120 million people are eating quite spicy, hot food that consume a lot of flavors and the seasoning solution that we are providing. A lot of cross-selling opportunity between Frutarom and Piazza. Some of them we already see contributing to our growth through very, very close relationship of Piazza with one of the leader global player in the world, with whom they have a very strategic relationship, a customer called Sigma. We are very, very optimistic also about the plan to develop a sweet flavor business in Mexico. I mean, that startup that we are starting now, but with a very, very strong base of Piazza in this important market. The second building block, our unique natural product portfolio. We continue to enhance this product portfolio. We entered into the growing area of natural color, natural food protection, antioxidant, natural preservative, biotechnology-based product, including based on algae, that were added to our portfolio in the last year. We continue to invest in a very, very focused way in internal R&D, but even more so external R&D with collaboration with universities, startups, and a lot of collaboration with companies that develop unique technologies, and Frutarom can be an excellent platform to take these into the market, use our infrastructure both in production, marketing, sales, and so on. No doubt, the change and the growth in natural product is being enhanced. We all want to see more natural product, back to basic, back to nature, healthier food, replacing synthetic chemically based product by natural product. But there is a big but. The cost of many of these natural products is preventing many food companies to use this type of solution and replace the synthetic ingredients that they are using by natural products. In many cases, cost of natural products are 3, 5, and 10 times higher than those of the chemically based product, which made them really, in many cases, more niche product than common product that are used in many markets, no doubt in emerging market, but also in many developed market. In the last couple of months, I would say, and following the big project of increasing significantly our capacity and position in natural botanical extracts, we came to the conclusion that we should invest, and that's what we are doing, in changing in a way the landscape of our position in the natural extract business by not only increasing capacity, moving production to more efficient operation like we are doing, but also go back to nature, to Mother Nature, where Frutarom started in 1933, and through a lot of collaboration with universities, and including in Israel with the Institute of Agriculture, to develop and find the best plants that will include the highest possible active ingredient that we are looking for when we want to extract natural color, natural antioxidant, natural antibacterial products, and so on. We are involved today with a back integration with some interesting partnership with farmers, both in Israel, in Latin America, and in East Europe, to grow, especially for us, with few years contract, these type of plants that we believe will support our ability to come to the market with much lower cost products, still making a very decent margin, but more importantly, allowing many more food manufacturers to use this type of natural product that will become, hopefully, much more affordable. We believe that this project will yield a significant contribution towards the beginning of next year. The project that we are going through in growing capacity include 4 acquisitions that we made in Europe, 2 in Spain, 1 Slovenia, and 1 Germany, in botanical extract operation. On top of the business that we acquired in this, we acquired capacity, and we are investing in increasing this capacity and improve efficiency and the cost structure. All these, the growing capacity, the improvement in yields of certain key plants will significantly enhance our position. Maybe just to give 2 examples where Frutarom became a very, very strong player. One is rosmarin that we are using as a main antioxidant, and annatto that is a very fast growing natural color. Both we are growing today and will continue to grow more by our own connection and partnership with farmers that will allow us to reduce costs, and not less important, to have enough availability to be able to meet market growth in this interesting product. This will allow us to enhance our position both with existing customers, and we believe also with customers that are not buying from us, including some very large food companies with whom we are having serious discussions about the ability to supply them at attractive prices, much more attractive than the market now, these type of natural product. A few words about the cross-selling. Again, personally, and we as management believe that this is one of the main growth engine for Frutarom, and a great opportunity to use the beautiful product portfolio that we built and presented to our 40,000 different customers. 10,000 of them were added, as I mentioned, only in the last 5 years. Most of these customers were acquired while we acquired small family-owned businesses that had very, very limited product portfolio. When we come to these customers today, and these are, again, primarily smaller, mid-sized customers, they love the idea to be able to get one solution, combined solution, and much less suppliers. They don't need really three suppliers that will supply them different natural color, and some that will supply them flavors, some will supply them antioxidants, some will supply them different functional ingredients. We can tailor-make the right solution for them, reduce their cost, and make their supply chain much more efficient and with much lower risk. That is also a very, very important factor in their consideration. We believe that this is a very interesting competitive advantage that we have built both on our product portfolio and the unique customer portfolio. Few words about the geography mix that was improved nicely over the last 5 years through both fast internal growth and the acquisitions that we made, starting with North America. We continue to enjoy a nice internal growth supported by the acquisitions that we made. Business grew in the last 5 years 4 times in North America, while flavor business grew 8 times. The sales in North America are now around 15% of total Frutarom sales, compared with only 8% in 2010. In the same time, Frutarom much more than doubled itself. We continue to actively pursue strategic acquisition in North America, and I believe that we will grow our North American business nicely over the next 2 years. Emerging markets, we continue to put a very focused effort in the growing emerging market. Our business in emerging market is today 4 times bigger than what it was in 2010, and the emerging market share out of total Frutarom sales is above 40%, compared with only 27% in 2010. I will refer to some of the main markets, start with Asia, where we grew last year by 45%. But still, our market share in Asia is much, much smaller than what we would like to see, and much, much smaller than our global presence. And this is a very important challenge for Frutarom to continue make acquisition and grow internally in the growing market of Asia. The nice growth last year come from a combination of the acquisitions that we made, a double-digit internal growth supported by the new plant we inaugurated in China last year, that is producing not only sweet solutions but also savory solutions, a lot of cross-selling opportunities. And I'm also happy to say that I believe that we will be able to make more acquisitions in additional markets where we are not operating today in Southeast Asia. Latin America was a zero business for Frutarom for flavors 5 years ago. In the last year, we grew by 20%, and in the last 4 years, we did 5 acquisitions that allow us to grow the business significantly. And the Latin America business today is around 70% of total Frutarom business, compared with, I believe, 1% 5-6 years ago. Here again, we are actively pursuing interesting potential acquisitions, including in markets where we don't have any operations today. We are also happy with our progress in Africa. We built our business over the last 4 years. Double-digit internal growth last year. A new plant inaugurated last year in South Africa supported the growing sub-Saharan market. Beginning of January or January this year, we did another acquisition of unique flavors, strong in savory in South Africa and in some key growing markets like Ghana, Malawi, Zimbabwe, and some others. Today, we are actively integrating the unique business together with the Frutarom South African business. Both will operate under one roof within more or less a year. In Central and East Europe, we are no doubt a leading player following the acquisitions we did in Slovenia, Russia, recently in Poland. We did took advantage of the big change in the Russian market, moving from import of food, finished food and raw materials into their own production. This helped us nicely to grow our business and to increase and improve our margin in this interesting market that we believe is coming back into a growth path. Currency effect last year was much, much better than the year before, but still we suffered from a 2.6% erosion in dollar terms in sales and profits. Few words about the actions we are taking to optimize our resources. These are going according to plan and successfully. These will bring the 22 million savings that we committed to. 12 million will come from the integration of the savory business following the Vyborg acquisition. 6 million will come from the project of increasing capacities and reducing costs in our botanical extract business. The Vyborg integration is progressing well under one management, acting from the nice modern R&D center in Salzburg. In the fourth quarter last year, we finished transferring all production from our largest site in Stuttgart that was much less efficient than the other site for our savory business in Europe. These were transferred primarily to the Vyborg site. We are very, very happy to be able to tell you that we did not lose any customers. We had a very good service level that we continued to perform. No claims regarding different qualities following this very, very significant change, bearing in mind that we are dealing with more than 10,000 different customers and more than 7,000 different customers. Sorry, 10,000 products and 7,000 different customers. We are implementing now the project. During the next few months, we'll finish the project of full automation of the Vyborg site that was fully automated, but we increased capacity there by 40%. At the moment, we do it manually because we didn't have this automatic equipment. We are installing it right now. This will be running fully before the end of second quarter, will allow us to reduce more costs and reducing the employees that were added in order to meet the growing demand for the savory business that continue to grow. We are very, very happy that this is the case following such a big integration. In the next 6 months, we will also implement some more reduction in our sales force and R&D staff, something that we decided not to do in 2016 because we noticed that some of our competitors are trying to hire some of our key people. This was, of course, something that we are not allowing and not going to happen. More importantly, We decided to put more resources in the market, both in sales and R&D, in order to ensure that customers are satisfied, get the same level of service, and so on. But still, we believe that we have, at the moment, ability, as part of the whole project, and the $12 million reduction in cost, to be able to optimize our sales and R&D force to the right level that is really needed in order to continue grow this important market. The one-time expense that relate to the Savory business are almost over, either completely over or maximum $1 million or $2 million additional expenses might be needed over the next two quarters. But we are, I would say, at 90% of the project, and this went very, very well for us. These one-time costs relate to layoff of above 100 people in Stuttgart, working parallel in two sites in order to have the right capacity, even if we didn't need it, because we wanted things to be smooth and give the right level of service. Our rental agreement in our Stuttgart plant will expire in November, but we put all the cost last year. Logistics were changed from outsider logistics facility to internal, and here again, we cut the agreements that were in place, and everything now worked from the integrated company and from internal resources that we have, and work very, very efficiently at a much lower cost base. We are sure that we will achieve our $12 million cost reduction on a yearly basis, and believe that additional cost improvement will come from harmonization and the global purchasing organization. The global purchasing organization continue. We have to include all the 20 acquisitions that we did over the last 2 years, and that's no doubt a challenge of harmonization of raw materials. But we are very happy to report that in the last couple of months, we start seeing a very nice reduction in cost of raw materials that we bought through global contracts, something that we have not done up till very recently, something where we have a big disadvantage compared with our big competitors, that I believe are buying more than 75% of their total raw materials through global contracts, using their purchasing power that we are about to use within the next coming few quarters. The combination of a fast internal growth, exploring and enjoying the operational efficiency project, including the global purchasing organization, will yield the expected improvement in our margin, in our core business, flavors and fine ingredients. To sum up, we are happy with the results of 2016 and the fourth quarter, representing a successful implementation of our growth strategy. We are very optimistic about 2017. That will be another record year for us. We believe we'll continue to see a fast internal growth. This will be based, as mentioned, on our unique proposition, offering our 60,000 products, 75% of them natural, to almost 40,000 different customers in more than 170 countries. A lot of cross-selling opportunities that we are enjoying in a strong pipeline, both of projects with thousands of customers and additional new acquisitions, supported by a better geography base and the operational efficiency program that we are going through. We believe that we'll continue to enjoy a healthy cash flow from operation that will support our acquisition strategy. All these will help us to continue improve results, continue support our reaching our targets of $2 billion in sales with over 22% EBITDA in our core business by 2020, I believe maybe even before. I would be very happy to answer any question you might have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. First question is from Tavy Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Uri. Thank you very much for the presentation. I had two big picture questions, if you don't mind. The first one was, one of the large industry players recently talked about entering the SME market as opposed to being just focused on the very, very large players. I was wondering if you see that as a potential threat to you. And the second one was with regards to emerging markets. We're seeing some macro headwinds in many geographies, just like in Latin America. Is that something that you are feeling in your orders? And I'll start with that.
Thank you for this excellent question. The first question is very difficult for me because you are asking me to talk about excellent companies that have a very good, solid performance. Let me tell you only one thing. If one would offer me to become a CEO of one of the largest company, which by the way, I'm not interested in doing, and assume that I will continue to do, I will consider doing that, I have to change completely my business model. I have to add additional 1,000 salespeople. I have to add additional 700, 800 R&D people. I have to change my lead time from 4-6 weeks, mainly through, in many cases, through distributor, to direct sales and lead time of 4 to 6 days. That means a complete change in the business model. If that will happen, we might have more competition, but you have to bear in mind that there are 800 different small companies exist in the market, but they of course don't have the same resources as the big guys and as Frutarom has. Also bear in mind that 60% of the food that we eat in the world is being produced by manufacturers, food manufacturers with a turnover of less than 1 billion, meaning that you have a huge room for the competition. I, to be honest, don't see that as any real major risk to the Frutarom model, based both on our relationship with these customers that are very, very close. Like, for example, on the other hand, if I may, Frutarom has no interest to go into the call list of the big guys, because we believe that the competition there is too tough anyhow, and the large five or so companies are fighting there. As far as emerging markets, I'm happy to say that in Latin America, we are enjoying a very, very fast growth, both last year and the first quarter this year. And I don't see any headwinds. But again, Tavi, bear in mind that Frutarom is a small player and we deal with smaller companies. Also bear in mind that it seems from a lot of reports that the smaller and mid-sized customers are growing faster than the branded products that are the main base for our large competitors. All these, I believe, lead to some answers that you might take as the conclusion. Hello?
Hello, we're done with this.
Oh, hi, yes, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes,
Yes, I hear you.
Thank you. Just the last one with regards to the recent increase in the price of raw materials. I mean, I remember the times a few years ago when the prices went through the roof, and then somehow you managed to compensate for that, you know, based on the number of raw materials that you're dealing with. Is that something similar happening now? And also, can you really translate purchasing power that you're gaining into kind of mitigating the impact of the inflation you're seeing there?
That's a very, very relevant question, no doubt. Thank you for that, Tavi. Look, we have seen a very significant price increases, and prices went to the roof, as you say, both between 2006, 2008, and 2010, 2013. In the last 3 years, we have seen more stabilization, but I do agree and confirm that in the last few months, we see some more prices going up than prices going down. Some specific products, like, for example, citrus and vanilla, went to the roof, and we are dealing with price adjustment that I believe in most cases we are able to achieve. And some other price increases that we have seen, we are working on referring to the right product and the right customer in order to ensure that we are able to maintain a margin. I will add to your question the currency effect. I believe that important part of the challenge come from a currency effect, while many of the raw materials for Frutarom, maybe it's more relevant because more than 75% of our raw materials are natural, and many of them are based on dollars, and not, for example, euro, or definitely not British pound. So in these cases, again, we are actively pursuing the right changes that we have to make in order to ensure that our profit is being maintained. I can also tell you that being at the close to the end of the first quarter, I don't see at the moment any real hit in our margin following these trends. But we are very, very committed and also improved significantly our control tool, IT control tool, to be able to monitor future trends in prices of raw materials and be more proactive than before, hopefully when dealing with price increases whenever they are needed. I no doubt, no customers, including us, don't like price increases. So it takes time, and that's why typically there is some lag between coming to these customers and talking about price increases until we can finalize some price adjustment. In some cases, maybe slightly less than what we expected. But I can assure you that even if it might take time, we will be able to use our pricing power, that I believe here again might be stronger than some of our competitors that deal with much bigger customers, to be able to mitigate this risk that might have a short-term effect that we are not seeing at the moment.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Ori.
Thank you very much, Tavi.
Thank you. The next question is from Ian Hunter of Investec. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Ori, maybe just a couple of questions, maybe moving on from that last question as well. I did notice that the operating margins did dip a bit in the fourth quarter. Would you say that is a sign of the passing through of the increasing raw material prices, or is it just a question of timing for profits coming through? And can we see these margins coming back up again in through the next year? And if it is the raw materials, then, as you said, it is just the lag coming through. Secondly, I was just wondering, with 57 production sites and 72 R&D labs at the moment, is this too diverse for your model as you grow going forward? Is there a thought that you might try and make more regional centers, et cetera? I'm only seeing this against some of your larger players who you are now coming up to compete against with their two or three centers, et cetera. Or do you think that maybe gives you a competitive advantage, given the fact that there's a kind of move towards regional and local plays.
Exactly. Thank you, Ian, for these two excellent questions. First of all, the fourth quarter margin refer more to typically fourth quarter lower margin because of seasonality and different product mix. And the second, to the product mix following the acquisition like Vyberk that we said before, will reduce our margin by around 1%, but this will change when we finish with our efficiency program and improve the cost base to be able to continue improve the margin towards the 22% EBITDA margin that we want to see in our core business. So I don't think or I don't see the fourth quarter margin relates to prices of raw materials. In some cases, slightly, maybe yes, because it takes some time, for example, to adjust prices, for example, in a country like the U.K., while some people made the decision, not myself, about the Brexit, that changed dramatically the pound as compared to the dollar or euro. But that's not the main issue. The main issue is the timing of the seasonality and the mix. As far as our, I would say, I would call it in my poor English, inefficiency in operations, R&D and sales and marketing offices. On one hand, we continue to combine sites and operations whenever we can, and no doubt that some improvement will be made over the next 2 years, assuming we don't do acquisition, which is a completely wrong assumption. I believe that a few production sites will be eliminated and integrated with existing ones, and we are working on some projects to do that. But generally speaking, I believe that, again, that's referred to the previous question about some of the large companies want to serve and have close intimacy with smaller customers. In order to do that, you have to have a close production site. You have to be close to them with R&D and application lab. You have to have, I believe, this type of inefficiency. And Frutarom, being more local player than some of the other larger global players, I believe, pay some price for this inefficiency. But at the end of the day, we are, our pricing power, I believe, and our margins are not different in any sector where we operate, and that's proved that the model works. Still, we have a room for further improvement that we will do.
Okay, thanks very much. There's not many companies that can ask this, so I do have to ask you if you can give us an idea of the business environment in Russia, because that's such a part of your actual business and you've got a good presence there. Are you seeing this? You mentioned it in passing that it was improving. I'm just wondering an idea of the general atmosphere here, and you'd see that this is coming back into a growth area.
Look, atmosphere, no doubt, much, much better than what it was in the last 2 years. The Russian food market generally was reduced by around 10% during the last 2 years, and we have seen a huge transfer or move from importation of finished products and raw materials into their own production. Let me give you one example. Russia used to import significant part of their consumption of chicken. Today, Russia is exporter of chicken. I mean, the government did a lot of actions, I believe in a very efficient way, to be honest, in order to encourage local producers to produce local raw materials, and they become more and more important. And that's why the importance of being local for us in Russia today help us to enhance our competitive advantage. We noticed in the last couple of months, maybe following the political situation, more optimistic approach, and they believe that they will come back to growth this year.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you very, very much.
The next question is from Ben Goldman of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just two quick ones from me. First of all, in terms of organic growth for Q4. How much of that, how much of the 3.8% number is made up from price? And specifically, if you can sort of pick out, you know, Brexit and also the raw material impact. And secondly, just on the phasing of the cost savings, how much have you seen already in the last 6 months? And sort of, I know the run rate should, as you say, gradually progress over 2017, but what can we expect in sort of the first half and second half? Thanks.
Thank you, Ben. First of all, fourth quarter internal growth totally was 3.8, but we had the reduction in internal growth in our non-core business of trade and marketing, and our flavor business grew by 5%. Very little come from price increases because we started increase prices in a very limited way, only towards the end of the fourth quarter and beginning of first quarter this year. So I would assume that in a very negligible part come from price increases. As far as the timing of savings, I would assume that we will gradually see the 22 million savings coming into the P&L during the year. The first quarter will be lower, the second will be better, and in the second half, we should come closer to these numbers. That's because we are finishing some last project in the savory, as I mentioned, like the optimization of the plant and the sales and R&D optimization. And the 6 million savings from the botanical extract will start coming into effect second half. So I would assume fourth quarter will be more representative, having almost the full impact.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Roni Giron of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ori. How are you? Quick question.
Thank you very much, Roni. Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you. Thank you. Just going back to your acquisition pipeline and inorganic growth strategy, you referred to it, and I'm just wondering, do you see any changes in terms of valuation, deal multiples, or overall in the number of companies in the pipeline, when you look at and you compare it to your 2020 targets? Any change from the last conference call?
I'd say yes, there is some change. The change is not referring to the last conference call, but the last year, I would say. We have seen some of the large players executing smaller acquisitions than what they used to do before. I believe lowest were in the range of $60 million-$70 million, mainly in the United States. But bear in mind that there are at least 800 much smaller flavor companies around the world and around 400 different potential target of natural ingredients like health ingredient, natural color, natural antioxidant, that most of them are much smaller player. We have today around 200 companies on our short list with whom we have some sort of discussion, and more importantly, at least 20 acquisition in the pipeline. Most of them, I have to say, are smaller with reasonable valuation model, because Frutarom strategy will not be to meet very high multiply of EBITDA that we believe are not justified for us and will not bring the right return on investment for our investors. So we have seen some change while some of the big guys are executing mid-size acquisition, but bear in mind that there aren't so many of these. Most of the potential acquisition are much smaller, and I assume that they are not the right size and not the right customers for the big guys. Our 2 billion target should be reached with an average revenue acquisition on a yearly basis of around $150 million. In the last 2 years, by average, we did 220. I don't see at the moment any real risk that we will not be able to do 150 or more acquisition of revenue, and that's why I believe that we'll be able to achieve the 2 billion before 2020.
Thank you. That is very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions. Oh, I see we have a follow-up question from Ian Hunter. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, again. With your exposure to Mexico and Central America, I do have to ask if you've had any feedback from your clients there on any potential impact that could be from the American administration going into more protectionist stance, etc. I'm wondering if your clients have got exposure into the States and whether that's going to affect their investment decisions going forward and therefore your service into those clients.
That's a relevant question, no doubt. On one hand, I, in order to be on the safe conservative side, I think it's early and nothing happened up to now. And I don't know what part of the declaration and announcement and Twitter announcement will happen or not happen. But let me tell you that our Mexican business is mostly based on the local market that is serving 120 million people and is exporting very little, if zero. I believe close to zero to the United States, and the export is more towards Latin America and Central American markets that we intend to enhance. I can also tell you that we acquired the business end of last year, and first quarter seems to be positive with a nice internal growth. So up till now, we don't see any real reason to be very concerned about it.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Cathal Kenny of Davy Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Ari.
Hi.
A couple of questions from our side. Firstly, you know, if you look at the business, you've obviously been very active in M&A over a long period of time, and you've accelerated that in the last couple of years. Are we close to a point where we'd start to see a shift away from M&A, maybe towards organic capital allocation in terms of CapEx? I'm conscious now that you have, I think, close on 57 individual sites globally. I'd just be interested in your thought process around that. I'll come back with another question after you answer it.
If I have to answer yes or no, the answer is no. And the no is a combination of Frutarom commitment and love to executing additional acquisition, including in 2017. And we believe that with our strong cash flow and strong balance sheet, bear in mind that since I joined Frutarom 30 years ago when it was a $3 million company, the growth to $1.2 billion came from our internal resources. So I see no reason why should we change the allocation. By the way, through this acquisition, we are acquiring, in a way, sites and assets, and in a way, create some sort of an inefficiency that was we referred to before. This inefficiency we are working on. For example, in the U.S., every new acquisition we did in New Jersey, we integrated into our Cincinnati operation. Every new acquisition we'll do in Europe. That will make sense, we'll move into our UK or Slovenia operation. Any new business in any new market like Brazil, like South Africa, we are integrating now. So most of the acquisition, because we already have now, something that we didn't have 5 years ago, we already have now production and existence in most of the important countries. As long as we don't do a new acquisition in a new market that we would love to do, we have the opportunity to merge, combine, and use the assets more efficiently. And yes, we do need and we are working on improving our efficiency to a level. And the level is what was discussed before. We do want to give the best service to much smaller customers, and this, in a way, costs or we pay for that by some inefficiency, but at the end of the day, our margins are not lower because these customers are paying the price for a supplier that gives them the best service with quality, with innovation, and so on.
Okay. I have a related question too. If you look at your annual report in around pages 64, 65, you outline your production assets, okay? And within that, then you give us some data around the actual physical size of the facilities. If I look at those numbers, I mean, there's very significant spread. So I think the biggest is 63,000 square meters, but you have a number of facilities that are less than 10,000 square meters. I mean, are those facilities optimal as we look forward? Or do you think we can see a further adjustment or consolidation around that production base?
Some limited consolidation, because many of those smaller production sites are in small countries that are serving local customers. And Frutarom is opposed to our large excellent competitors, and I really mean it, excellent competitors, believe that being close to these small customers, supplying them within 4 or 5 days, is the right model to grow with this market segment that is 60% of the global market and is very interested in getting such a service and not 4 to 6 weeks lead time.
Yeah, I understand that. Just finally, on the same question, I mean, most of your facilities run 5 days a week, looks like two shifts. Is that typical of the industry?
I believe so for flavor companies, for our ingredient business, and when we deal with our capacities of botanical extract, we are moving towards three shifts and try even to work more than 5 days. It's not necessary for flavors because in flavors, as you know very, very well, because you are really expert in this area, maybe better than me, you don't really need a lot of, equipment or capex in order to grow your capacity, and you don't need to work in three shifts or anything like that. Well, that is less efficient in these cases.
Okay. Ari, John has a follow-up question.
Good afternoon, Ari. How are you?
I'm very well. So happy to hear you, John.
Yeah, I heard you were in good form yesterday.
Thank you so much.
I wondered, the model which has served you well in the, if you like, the Occidental or the Western world, by way for as regards growth, is that one that you think can work as well in Asia? Or will you have to approach Asia from a developmental point of view very differently? In other words, to go back to Carl's question, do you think it'll be there, CapEx rather than acquisition?
Look, that's a very fair question, because up to now, we did only one acquisition last year in China, and this was not pure flavors, but more flavor solution, including fruits and other parts. And that's why we build our own new facility in China. We did the same in South Africa, and now we did a small acquisition there. We will do more of that in additional South Asian market. Soon we'll announce it. In these markets, even though there are acquisition opportunity, particularly China, there is, I might say, some concern about doing acquisition because of IP protection, and that's why in some of those markets we prefer to invest in our internal growth.
Okay, thanks very much, Ari. Yeah.
Thank you. Happy to hear you.
Yeah, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Udai, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes, with real pleasure. I really thank you for your participation, for the excellent questions, more so for your continued support. Both Alon, Roy, and myself are at your disposal if you have any other question, any other concern. I hope I could transfer our positive feeling about the continuation of our journey going forward in the right place that we believe we have in this interesting, fascinating market that is changing. So thank you very, very much, and have a great day and evening.
Thank you. This concludes the Frutarom Industries Limited fourth quarter 2016 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.